number 42, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for Blind Handyman, Don Shaw.
Tom, you made it after all that rain, didn't you?
I finally made it here. I sure did. Don Patterson?
Yes, sir. A day good. Late and a dollar short.
Good to have you with us, big guy. My name's Tom Houston, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Phil Parr.
Boy, the way you put your punctuation in that sentence, we're not
so
sure
dramatic.
Who you were talking
about. I wasn't sure who I was. Look at Shaw's mic. See the pan pot above each microphone there?
Uh-huh.
Make sure they're all in the center. Sound like he was off to one side.
They are. They're in the middle.
Center.
Are you there, Shaw?
Yes. Right. Test,
sound like
test,
he was off to the left there for a minute. We don't want him.
I don't hear him as very...
Hello, hello, hello.
There he
hello.
Is. He wasn't up on his microphone.
But hello, hello, hello.
All right, I got a question for all of you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Question.
I'm
working on, Patterson doesn't know about this, but I'll tell him later, working on a little deal to do a guy was going to trade us some old-time radio, I think, for some advertising on the Blind Handyman Show.
Yep.
And which we'll give away as contest prizes or we'll keep for ourselves. We'll make copies of it anyway. I think he's going to do this, and so we have to produce him a commercial. And on this commercial, of course, we want to give his web address, right?
Right.
So what do you say at the first commercials? Hey, folks, have your tablets and styluses handy. You'll want to copy down this web address at the end of this commercial. What do you say? You know, because I was saying, get a pencil and paper. You know, what do you say to blind guys? Have your Braille notes ready.
Braille notes.
What do you say to blind guys? Get your tablets and have your tablets and styluses at hand. You'll want to copy down this web, you know. Or, you know, have your, what else do they?
Get your note takers ready.
Get your Braille notes ready.
I'll count to three, push record.
What do you do, you know? How would you?
I guess the little Radio Shack message takers.
I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Only the creator would
I don't know what, you,
like
what you'd say to these poor
What
schmucks,
a start
you know?
That would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, I think this guy's going to do that, and it'll be a wonderful thing for all of us. We'll have only old-time radio we want.
Radio is a great medium, too, man.
For blind folks, it's a wonderful thing. For all of us people who just listen, you know, it's like television for the blind.
It is. Television and for the non-sighted folks.
I did my first interview. We haven't talked at all, and we won't, but until I get a promo done, which we're fixing to move. I intended to have this all done by now, but of course I don't. But I've been busy sleeping and reading. We're moving to Friday nights. Very quickly. That will be, actually, it's 5 weeks from now. It'll be on the 18th of July. We're moving to Friday night. The Blind Handyman Show will not be heard on Monday nights, but will be heard on Friday nights. And it will be, they make the change at 7 or 8 now, Sean, with daylight saving time. Do you know?
It's probably going to be 8 o'clock when they change now, since we're on daylight saving.
It's going to be 8 o'clock and, not 7.
Yeah.
Well, it was 8 o'clock before, so it would be 7 now, wouldn't it?
No, I think we've
sprung forward.
Because they always change on Monday night. You know, the radio show is first, and, you know, 8 to 9, and then we're 9 to 10 Central. So
that's the way it'll be. So we'll be on 8 o'clock. The Blind Handyman will be on Friday night. And then 9 o'clock, a brand-new show called Blind Like Me, starring Phil Parr, the creator. I'll have nobody to talk about me being the creator. I did my first interview this morning with Dr. Bob Peters. Do you know that son of a gun is the dean? Pat, do you know this? The dean at Tyler Junior College.
Did not.
What a deal, man.
This guy's,
I know he has some powerful credentials. Huh?
The parallels in things, like he worked in photo dark rooms for a while.
Really?
And he was telling us about how they splice film, and we just happened to have two guys here who spent a lot of time working in dark rooms, didn't you, both of you?
Right, yes.
Working with that film, man.
And he has a PhD in history, Patterson.
Yes, I knew that.
You did know that,
yes.
Right? And I forget what other degrees, but has all kind of degrees, and is a quite interesting fellow. Anyway, I think our first guest on Blind Like Me, that'll start Friday night. We'll be on Friday, first the Blind Handyman, then Blind Like Me. That'll be all on Friday night and, of course, repeated all day Saturday.
Yeah.
Because we felt like that a lot of the home, you know, if you're going to do a home project, you get into a lot of those on Saturdays. And we thought that maybe we would be better off on Friday night so that they would run us, so it'll be on all day Saturday. What do you think?
And Saturday is a great time to be running a show like this.
A handyman show.
It's natural.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I agree.
Yes.
We'll all be on Friday. Shut up.
Listen, anytime Saturday, and you'll hear one of us.
One of the two shows will be on anytime Saturday. You can hear either Blind Handyman or Blind Like Me. And we'll give you an email address how to get in touch with how to get in touch with me and the Blind Like Me show, and you might have guests or your ideas or for the show or programs we ought to do. But we'll tell you more about that. I swear I've got to do some commercials. I just haven't. I don't know. I've been reading good books.
Commercial time.
Books have come in. I stumbled across little authors and download books from. And anyway, we're going to be on vacation. We'll do one more show, and then we'll be on a little vacation because the ACB convention comes up the 6th through the 12th, I think.
It does.
It does. We don't go, but, you know, they're talking about having it in Las Vegas in 2005. Now, wouldn't that be a hoot?
Man, that would be. That would be great, wouldn't it?
To do the blind ACB. I guess we'd have to go there, Pat.
We'd have to do the Blind Anti-Man show from there, wouldn't we?
Well, we would have to do it from Las Vegas. Pat and I sitting at the slot machine losing bundles.
I'm certain that our researchers and staff, our office personnel are probably making those arrangements right now. All expenses paid.
Those reservations.
Of course.
All expenses paid. What do you think, Thomas?
Hi, everybody. I'm brand new to this group, and I don't know the protocol yet, but I have had an experience recently that I must share. I don't want any other blind homeowner to go through this as I did. The lock on our front door stopped working. Now, in our neighborhood, that's serious business.
Yeah.
Hey, he must live across the street from me.
Probably.
Yeah, across the street, yeah.
The thing that had been there since the house was built 20 years ago, so I'm not surprised, we have a separate knob lock and a dual-cylinder deadbolt, the kind with a key on each side. Now, I followed the salesman's advice and purchased the best lock I could find. Is this a Schlage, Patterson? Do you know a Schlage lock? S-C-H-L-E-G-G.
I have no idea.
Schlage. Let's go with Schlage.
Schlage sounds pretty good. Okay, Schlage. It turns out that Schlage locks are a lot more complicated than their quick-set counterparts. Now, understand, the holes were already there from the old knob lock and deadbolt. Supposedly, all I had to do was put the new lock in the same place, right? Well,
yep.
I finally got the job done. But it was a lot harder than I could have imagined. The knob lock wasn't a problem at all. The trouble was the deadbolt. You install the bolt itself in the hole left by the old lock. You can even use the same screws, but the cylinders are a product of our security-minded world. The outer cylinder is fitted with a safety ring, which makes it harder for someone to pop the cylinder out during a robbery. The thing to do is stabilize the outer cylinder. The safety ring helps, but you have to make sure the keyhole is facing the right way. Now, the manufacturer has designed the lock so that the keyhole should be at 6 o'clock. Now, there's a pin which must fit into a slot provided in the bolt. When the key is turned, the bolt slides in and out. So far, so good. Then comes the fun. At the top of the outer cylinder is a tongue which fits into a groove on the inner cylinder. Additionally, a shaft must connect the inner and outer cylinder. Now, if the shaft and socket aren't aligned perfectly, they won't fit.
Oh, no.
It's not hard to miss the connection entirely since there's some play in that shaft. So picture this, guys. You have to line up the central shaft, the tongue and groove set up, and without taping that outer cylinder in place, by the way, I use duct tape because you can remove the sticky residue without too much trouble. I learned several things. Putting a key in at least one of the cylinders helps a lot. You can turn the key while holding the two parts together.
Uh-huh.
And that way you can be sure that the shaft has seated properly. Now grasp the inner cylinder firmly. Now if you can turn the inner cylinder more than a quarter of an inch, you haven't connected the tongue and groove.
Something's not lined up. Yeah.
This sounds pretty rough to me.
Yeah.
Once the screws are in place, Schlage allows for quite a bit of movement up and down. Now, this is to allow for holes that aren't exactly straight.
Uh-huh.
Hey, it happens. After making sure both mounting screws are beginning to thread, the shaft is properly seated, and the tongue and groove are mated, you can move the cylinder up and down enough to get the best performance out of the lock. The screw heads, which connect the cylinders, are not standard Phillips or slot head. They're what are sometimes called socket head screws.
Great.
Schlage has a special screwdriver blade, which fits their locks, or you can use either a screwdriver or Allen wrench. If you're very lucky, the bolts will slide freely into the plate you have mounted on the door jamb. If not, then you have to use some adhesive backed insulating foam, which you can place over the entry hole. If you turn the key slightly, just enough to have the bolt come out a little, then close the door, it will score the foam, and you can feel whether the plate is too high or too low in its alignment.
That's a good hint.
Okay, then you can make...
Boy, that is. I never thought of
that. Yeah, I hadn't either. That's real good.
Then you can make the adjustments. One more thing, though. Never move the bolt in the door. It might cause the lock mechanism to jam. That's what happened to me. Instead, move the plate slightly or even file part of it away to compensate for any problems. For the record, Quitset locks are much easier to install. Thanks for your patience with this first try, John Justice from Willow Grove, Pennsylvania.
All right, John.
Think you did well, John. I've never seen one.
I hadn't either.
I always just buy the, you know, Yale lock. Made in Liberia, or wherever they all are.
Quickset, and I've always heard of them.
I've heard of Quickset.
But, yeah, Tom Houston, just imagine doing all these things here and trying to line up all this stuff without being able to see it.
So, oh, man.
It would be a trick,
email to my brother over the phone before I came down here today, and yeah. he said, man, that it's even rough for a sighted guy to do something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no kidding. What
yeah,
a
because,
deal.
You know, not too long ago, I changed just the, and I'm sure mine was a quick set, you know, with the key yeah. on one side and a little turn, and lining yeah. up the holes is very tedious.
Oh, it
and
is.
I,
hey,
I liked his idea about either inserting the key, which I got to say I didn't think about,
yeah, did
and
too.
Or the duct
idea.
Tape, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I can sympathize with him.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, you know, locks can be a deterrent, but there is very few doors in the world that a guy, a well-placed kick, won't open.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So if a guy wants in your house, I don't care what kind of lock you got on it, he's coming in. And once you're in the house, and you've seen these, I'm sure, Shaw, you probably got a couple at your house because it used to be my house, those little flip locks that you just flip down.
Yeah,
and they yeah. hold that you can't open the door from the outside. I mean, you could kick it open, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're inside and you want to protect yourself inside, they're as good as anything, and they're very simple.
Yeah, we have a friend her idea of handling burglars, she just leaves them a note. You know, take what you want and minimize the damage. But I was going to try that in my neighborhood, but then people tell me the guys over there can't read. So
yeah, no point. You really have somebody who does that, leaves the burglars a note?
Yeah. Yeah,
somebody I know?
Yeah. Well, her name is Judy. She was at the function the other night.
Was she at the function?
Yeah, at
well,
the dance.
The last time my mobile home was broken into, they broke in. They didn't take anything and left me a $100 bill. So yeah. I thought, well
that's like bad people who'd come to try to steal a beer and they'd see Pearl Light and they just, you know. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, it was actually man. Emily and I left, you know, my accordion and we had another one in the car. There's two accordions in the car and we stopped to eat. We forgot to lock the car and we were worried. I ran out there and there were three, you know, accordions.
Somebody else put another accordion in the car.
Speaking of that Matusik guy from New York or something.
Speaking of jobs, Pat and I played this job the other night. It went real well. Don Shaw came and
it was good.
It was quite the thing. We were a big hit. They booked us again.
One more time.
Anyway, go ahead, John.
Okay, it says, hi, everyone. My name is Doug, and I listen to the Blind Handyman Show once in a while. I wonder if anybody has any ideas on how to wash a car and know that you have it absolutely clean if you're totally blind. I do all right on the inside, but sometimes there are spots on the outside. Does anyone know what I can do about that? Thanks, Doug. Okay, guys.
I got something, Don Patterson. You might know an old thing they used to use years ago for washing a car, a chamois, something, a skip,
right.
You know, like thing. Will that take away spots or what?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't know if he's doing it at home or taking it to the car wash, because sometimes I go with Emily to the you know, the quarter, not the full-fledged where you drive through, but the one that you do it yourself.
Yeah.
And she kind of gets on me for missing what you just really have to do, and it's, you know, it's really...
What?
We have that weather basic radio. Weather alert. Here, stand by
yeah,
for news.
Weather alert.
Stand by for news.
Okay.
So we're a thunderstorm warning or something.
We are.
Obviously. But that's the weather radio. It's global.
Okay.
So it could be any county. Go ahead.
Anyway, the car, you know, is geometrically laid out, and you have where the doors open, everything, little sections. And so my advice was just kind of concentrate on a section at a time. And I'd probably, like, do the soap and water, get a bucket rather than doing the hose at first. first and then do the rinsing. But I think if you just isolate it at a section at a time, it's sort of like mowing the lawn. If you go over it enough, you're bound to get it.
But there'd still be, no way to know, would there?
No, I wouldn't know unless you had to.
Probably need
there would be a way for me to know because Emily would be out there bitching about it.
What'd you call her? You call her Emily?
Yeah, the warden.
The warden
would be out there.
Well, we could have her go to his house.
We could have her, if he'd put a camera in.
take a picture of the car and.
You know, it's really funny, it's not funny, but I read an article the other day. This guy spent 2 weeks with a truck driver that hauls hazmats, hazardous material all across the nation. He spent a couple weeks with him riding back and forth. And this guy only washes his truck where they have water that's been reverse ionized.
Okay. Huh. Wow.
Have you ever heard of that?
No.
I haven't.
No.
Where they do some, I forget what he said the process was, but I'm wondering if you can buy that kind of water. You know, of course, you can buy distilled water, but that water is supposed to leave no spots. That would be, I guess you could buy a reverse ionizing generator that you could feed your water through, but that'd be a little extreme, wouldn't it? I don't know.
But
if
you can still buy a chamois type thing, if you rub it over the car, will that take away like a spot?
Yeah, it will. Like spots. I say, his big thing is going to be seeing, but I still say if he isolates it by the section, and then probably for his rinse, if he had sort of like a, you know, these screw-on things, you don't have to have a real elaborate thing, but get some pressure on it. Not just a nozzle. They make a little gizmo just for cars.
They do. I've seen that.
Puts it out pretty good pressure. It's almost like going to the car wash.
It is like going to the car wash.
Does it have a little mop on the end of it, or is it just a nozzle?
Well, I think after rinsing, it would just be you'd kind of rinse with your hand or a clean rag. But
I don't. We'll feel that question, and maybe somebody in our vast audience will have the answer to that question.
Okay, another quick one here, guys. It says, hi, guys. I just got caught up with the archive shows and have a question that came up on one of your blind weekends.
Yeah.
Phil said that you all were going to Radio Shack to get an IROC. And the words of the creator, I don't know what it is, but I think I need one. Exactly what is an IROC?
Well,
keep up a great show as you are an inspiration for the rest of us. Thanks, Al Treese.
I think we all know what they are now.
Right, Al.
Thank you, Al. We appreciate
that. Do we know Al?
I don't know Al. That's,
okay,
that's my line.
Bob.
The old IROC.
You want to tell them what it is, man?
Yeah, the IROC is you can hook it up to whatever sound source you might want to use, computer, radio, talking book machine, anything that has an output with a quarter-inch jack coming out of it. You hook it up, and it'll transmit, I don't know what, Don Patterson, 30 or 40 feet or so, and then you tune your whatever radio headphones, etc.
Yeah, mine works from one floor to the next. You know, I have out on the second floor and my stereo, you know, the computer was downstairs and I could hear it on my upstairs radio. So.
In other words, if you plug one of these into the speaker port on your computer or the earphone jack on your computer and you tuned your radio within about 50, 75 feet of standard radio to one of the low 88, 1, 3, 5, or 7, then you can hear what's coming. Like if you're reading a book on your computer, you go sit in your chair and listen to the radio and you can hear you could hear the book or, you know, and if you're in your car and you have a little MP3 player and you want to play that through your car speakers, tune your car radio to one of those frequencies, turn on your IROC transmitter and it'll come through the speakers in your car. They are how much? $29.95, guys?
I believe at Radio Shack.
At Radio Shack. And Radio Shack is not the only place to buy them, and that's not the best one you can buy. I think the best ones can be had at, we'll give them a little plug, Sea Crane. What do you think, Shaw?
I think so. That's generally, I think it is.
I think Sea Crane has those, and they have a better one, but of course it's going to cost more. But this IROC, for me, now somebody was complaining about the way they sounded. I think it was Dale Levins, but they sound all right to me. So I go buy you an IROC transmitter and tell them we sent you from the Blind Andy Man Show, which will be back in just a moment with our special guest.
When They're not broadcasting.
This is Steve Mazura.
It's Robin from the Aussie Kaleidoscope.
Living on the edge.
I'm Roger Cool.
The KJS Show.
Hi, this is Patrick Perdue from
the ACBRI DJs are hard at work creating personal web pages about their shows, the music they play, and even a bit about themselves.
Now we're accumulating these web pages into the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring, where you can learn more about the personalities behind the microphone. Go to www.acbradio.org, then choose the interactive link. From there, you can choose the link that will take you to the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring.
Latest breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
ACB Radio Mainstream, now delivered live to your phone in the UK using phoneanything.com. The internet over the phone. www.phoneanything.com.
Is the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right, we're back, and our guest for this segment is Lee Stone from Hudson, New York. Hey there, Lee. We arced our way over here, so to speak, today. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Don, yourself?
Doing good. And since we had to cancel yesterday, I told you we canceled yesterday because of the weather, and, man, the weather's almost that bad again today. So.
Well, up here in Hudson, New York, we are together as a team building an ark. There's no way in upstate New York that we will have a drought this year. Praise the Lord.
No way for a drought, huh?
So an ark, animals 2x2, that kind of thing, right?
Right. I'm going to use my welding techniques to weld up some brackets that will hold all the pine bark that we can get so we can float out of here to Lufkin,
okay,
Texas.
Okay, but I bet you don't know. I bet you don't know what a cubit is.
No, sir.
Well, that's what God said to build him, 20 cubits long and 80 remember that?
Oh, yes.
And he didn't know what one was either. How are you?
I'm not bad.
Howdy. Did you go get some liquid refreshment to kind of get through this with?
No comment.
All right. Well, we're all having some. It's perfectly okay. Is it
homemade?
Ours is not.
It ought to be, but...
It should be. We're drinking it. They're drinking cheap beer, and I'm drinking brandy.
That's the way it is.
You know?
What are surprise.
I think radio. It's real radio. You know, this is the way it ought to be done.
It is.
God said you're 57?
I had a 57 Chevy back in 50. No, yes, I am. I'm going to be 57.
Fixing to be pulling up close on 57.
And on 9/11. Well, that's a heck of a birthday.
Is that right? 9/11? That's amazing because Don Patterson's is 9/15.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's like we planned this or something, isn't it? Huh?
September 11, 1946, 7 a.m. I scared the dickens out of my mother.
Is that right?
Oh,
were
my
you?
God, what is that?
And you're. I think Don said you were partially sighted still?
At that time.
But that's since gone. You've lost your...
Since that's gone. Actually, I was at my five-year checkup at my ophthalmologist recently. He says, you're still not blind. I said, I'm not. Tell me why. He said, because you have... You can see daylight and dark. You can see my light in your left eye.
Yeah.
I said, well, isn't that nice?
But that's
either
as far
way,
as...
Either way, I can still see my neighbor.
That's as far as it goes. You can just see that light.
I'm just glad I only lost my sight. I get friends of mine that can't find their bandsaw.
That's true. That's true.
That happens.
That happens quite often. So, we always say our little motto is blindness is not a handicap. It's just a real inconvenience sometimes.
Absolutely.
So, do you have a bandsaw?
I used to have.
Used to have.
But my children felt comfortable in auctioning it off. I think they wanted to save my fingers.
Is that right?
But I did have a bandsaw.
You did have a bandsaw. Now, this I think Don said that you were a welder. Were you welder by trade or just a hobby or what?
Oh, welder by trade, years ago. I worked for two major companies. I can't mention their names on the air because they won't hire any more blind people.
Well, okay. they won't hire any more blind people. Why is that? Did you do something?
Well, I did a very good job. Uh-huh. At that time, I was considered what we call legally blind.
Uh-huh.
And I worked for a major corporation in Connecticut and one in Schenectady, New York. So. Uh-huh.
And you welded what? You welded...
In Connecticut, I welded aircraft parts, specifically parts for carburetors for 747 engines at that time.
Wow.
And in Schenectady, I welded steam turbine parts.
And someone, they sent you to school to learn this, or these companies taught you this? Or
oh, yeah. So I had the capabilities. I just didn't show up and say, I can weld, and they put me on the job. There was definite training involved. One was, in Schenectady, was sub-arc welding, which is machine welding, where the parts are preheated to 350 degrees.
Oh.
And in Connecticut, I welded, used a heliarc system using argon gas. And that was very easy because at that time I had some minimal vision, and it was very close-up work.
Uh-huh.
You practically had your nose, your nose was inside, obviously, a welder's helmet.
Uh-huh.
However, it was a close quarter situation. That's an easy way to describe it.
And it would have been even for a perfectly sighted person.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So you're underneath a welding helmet, nobody knows whether you can see or you can't see or how well you can see.
Yeah, I guess
what
that's
they can
true.
Tell is by testing. I would say most welding operations, they sporadically test welds to make sure that you're doing the correct
sure.
job, and I was doing fine.
And so they didn't test you any more than they would test your sighted brother?
No. Everybody has a welding number when you weld under a military contractor or something else,
uh-huh.
and it doesn't make any difference what your number is. They would test, like, booth number 5 or booth number 25.
Okay.
Occasionally stop by and pick up a piece of your work. We'd be run through several...
And just kind of see how you're doing.
Right.
Well, Lee, I had a question. This is Don Patterson here.
How you doing?
And I probably have the best vision of the group, minus Tom Parsons. And I had tried my hand at welding. I mean, nothing training or not a job, just kind of I wanted to see if I could do it. And my problem was, like, seeing through the hood. Even when I had an arc, you know, I have what I would consider pretty good vision. So was this something like you kind of described, like prefab? I mean, you welded the same thing all day, basically, or?
Yes, in both situations, it was the same thing.
In other words, so you set up your machine, or it was set up for you, and then the welding just, I mean, you put the parts in a certain place, or mm-hmm. in
it? Well, in one situation where I did the heliarc welding, the parts were supplied, they were stacked on a table, and then we had to put two pieces together. It's basically like a children's puzzle.
Right.
Only it took the skill of a welder, but that was taught in the welding school, specific training for that particular part. And as long as you could maintain what they call a tight puddle, PUDDLE, as you moved along,
right.
and it didn't burn through, that was fine. Actually, in all the welding I did during that period of time, the only welding test that could not pass was pipe welding. And pipe welding is, it takes a really good welder, whether you're partially sighted or not,
right.
to do pipe welding when you come around and not be able to do a burn through. That's kind of hard to explain, but in both situations, things were set up.
Right.
The only time that I had to do on the spot my own specific welding was when I was welding steam turbines. There was two giant pieces of material. I say giant because they're probably several hundred pounds apiece.
Wow.
And I had to arc weld a bridge in between those two pieces to run a bead. And as far as you're being able to see, whatever, if you look at a welder supply, there are many different shades of lenses, from very, very dark for those who have the best sight
uh-huh.
to a lighter shade. People will tell me that, you know, that's probably why I lost my sight the way I did. No, that's not at all. I lost my sight because of RP.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I didn't lose my sight because of welding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know some people who have been, you know, welders all their lives, and it's kind of a hazard of the profession. But in my case, I think I must have had a really dark hood. It was You know, I just wanted to see if I could do it. But that was my main problem. I said, oh, I can't see.
Exactly. And if somebody had worked with you, I'll bet you, if they had light, because you know what I'm talking about, in the front of the helmet where they get the glass shield.
Right.
If they had changed that lens to a lighter color, more than likely, if you had some sight, you could be able to see.
Yeah,
because the glow from a welding situation, nobody with any sight at all would be able to watch that and be able to see that without doing some damage just straight. So you have to have the shield, first of all, for protection for the burn. Second of all, for the glare. And I know that because I thought that at that time I was very young and foolish, and I have a welding helmet, that's all I need. I knew that other people in the departments where I was working had heavy welding gloves and welding jackets. Well, I had the gloves on, but, you know, I was much younger. I got a T-shirt on, and the first night that I did any extensive welding, I knew the next day I'd made a mistake because I had these burns, just like a very heavy-duty sunburn.
Man.
Yeah.
However, I learned a lot of tricks in welding.
Yeah. Now, I was asking you a while ago, did the company you worked for train you?
Yes, they did. In both situations, two entirely different situations. One was welding aircraft parts. The other one was welding parts for sale to the general public for people who were putting together steam turbines, which are used throughout the world.
Yeah. Because I couldn't figure how you could get the commission for the blind to
yeah,
offer that.
To be a welder.
They would frown on that. They would say, no, you can't do that. Yeah.
However, I can tell you the skills that I learned at one facility for arc welding, I used at I was invited to a friend's family reunion. Now, we're going back, you have to imagine, years ago when people had good solid chrome bumpers in their car.
Sure.
In the 50s and early 60s. And there was a family dispute, even though they had a family reunion, there was a family dispute going on, and this gentleman had a welder in
That's
his
That's usually
his
what causes garage. Our family reunion.
You've all heard the mother-in-law jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, this gentleman says, I got some good beer here that says that you can't do what you say you're doing as a blind person. I said, again, I'm not totally blind, but he turned on his welder, and I heard that thing started to hum, and he had 24-foot cables in that thing. And we had the opportunity to, he gave me some scrap metal, and I cleaned up the surface on two cars, one which belonged to his mother-in-law, which was at that time was a 59 Ford 9 passenger station.
I'm losing you. Can you get up close? I can barely hear you.
Okay.
Now.
We had the opportunity to take some scrap metal, some good metal, and with the assistance of bringing two cars within 2 feet of each other, I welded the mother-in-law's car.
Oh, I know. I know what's coming here.
Excuse me now, gentlemen. Now, let's get this clean.
Yeah.
I welded a piece of metal, 2-inch strap metal, from the mother-in-law's chrome bumper over to the daughter's car.
Uh-huh.
So we give them the binding effect.
Yeah.
So this gentleman ended up having not only a mother-in-law, but now an outlaw. Because he brought in somebody. He didn't hire me. He gave me a couple of beers, and I said, sure, I can do this job.
What a deal.
And so when did they leave these like this when the people started to leave? I mean, was this a big joke?
When they get ready to leave, she get ready to back out, and she slapped it in reverse. And, of course, she wasn't going anyplace without rocking the car in front of her.
Yeah.
And, what's the problem here? And somebody said, it looks like the two of you are tied together. The point the son-in-law was trying to make is, you know, daughter wasn't making any decisions at all without asking mommy.
Yeah.
Now they were glued together.
Yeah.
Because Lee had accidentally, on purpose, taken a two-inch piece of strap metal and just welded. You couldn't do that today because everybody's got a vinyl bumper.
Yeah, they're all plastic fiberglass or something.
It was a lot of fun.
So, but these folks actually, part of what they were doing was seeing if you really could do this as a blind person.
Oh, yeah.
That was part of their thing.
Well, it was disturbing to them. I mean, there's a lot of information about welding, and you don't have the time to share all that. But what I did is I borrowed a power drill from his shop and from the gentleman's garage and put on a wire brush and scraped down a bunch of chrome from each side so I had a clean surface and quickly spot welded, if you would, two cars together.
Yeah. What a deal.
It is.
And I'm sure that this was your family reunion?
No, not mine. I was invited to a friend's family.
Have they had you back?
If it was my family reunion, I would probably still be incarcerated.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Did these folks ever invite you back? Because that seems like a pretty serious stuff. Now, is this, you say you're 57. What else have you done? Some other things as a gainful employment, or have you been a welder all your life?
Oh, no. since I lost my sight, I worked for the government in the... As a disability coordinator, I've worked in disability rights, representing people with disabilities in court situations, mostly representing students in schools, students who have problems with getting the correct services in public schools.
Mm-hmm. You don't have a law degree, though?
Oh, no.
No. So you just read up on the law and figured out?
No, actually, I was through the company I last worked for, I was sent away to a law school.
Okay.
It's like a degree one step below being paralegal.
Uh-huh.
You're so, like an advocate? I mean,
advocate, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
As a legal advocate. Recognized in many, but not all courts.
Yeah, and the judge allowed you practice or allowed you to...
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, and in some cases, the judge will ask for an additional attorney.
Yeah.
But there's not that many attorneys nationwide who practice in disability law.
Sure.
In specifics.
And this is working for you, working for the state at this point in time?
No, at this point in time, I'm working for myself. The last time I did this, I was working for the federal government.
For the federal government, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. As a satellite office of an independent living center in our mm-hmm. area.
Well, are you a married fella? Do you have have one of those wives?
Like I've got a wife who's tolerated me for 27 years. I emphasize the word tolerated. she has learned the term humor. She's gained a sense of humor.
She's developed.
Can't say enough good things about her.
You've helped her develop her sense of humor.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mine is losing hers, I think.
Is she really?
She doesn't. I'm not nearly as funny as I used to be. But that's probably true of all of us. So, and did you do college as a young fella?
No. Most of my skills were learned in trade school. But when I found out that I couldn't see anymore, well, first of all, I always wanted to be a mortician.
Really?
But my counselor through the blind didn't have a sense of humor. He could not imagine me being an embalmer or mortician, so they wouldn't fund me to go to a.
It would be like asking him to send you through welding school.
Did you get your education at a blind school or in were you mainstreamed in public school?
Mainstreamed in public school.
Okay.
And I would take that opportunity again. I know that not all people would, because I have friends of mine who did. Very well in blind school.
Right.
Depends on the area, I believe. You know, I cannot give good testimony there, but I know friends of mine, associates and colleagues who have done very well in blind schools, and I know others who have done good in public schools.
Right.
It depends on how well a public school is versed in the information that is needed.
It depends on the blind school and the public school and the individual.
And the person,
There are lots
of
variables.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We've given a lot of discussion to that, whether kids are better off mainstreamed or not, and we still have never made a decision and probably never will.
Well, it's the first time I went to try to qualify for what we call a talking computer.
Yeah.
The woman who I work with, she was an absolute pain in the gutter. Overhead, whatever.
Yeah.
Pain in the hard drive. Yeah.
But I found somebody else that I could work with, and I did okay.
Yeah.
But they were telling me at that time what I needed to do was learn how to use what most of you know as JAWS.
Yeah.
I says, no, I'm not comfortable with that, because they were teaching me what a sighted person was teaching me what I needed to know. I had a problem with it.
Yeah.
And over the years, I met another person who has been blind since 1947. He has introduced me to a program called Linux, and something I'm doing very well at. I'm getting better. Let's put it that way.
Linux. So you're typing in commands, command line yourself.
Absolutely.
A lot of that old dog. Listen, we are out of time, unfortunately. We've got to go. Sound like you've led a pretty good life, and sounds like to me you're still doing all right.
Yeah.
Well, the only problem we have is the same problem you have in Lufkin. We got too much water
too
up
much
here.
Rain.
I'd like to send some of this rain to my friends out in Wyoming or someplace else. That they're having a drought.
I think they are. We had one last year, but we're not going to have one this year, I don't think. And you're not either, right?
I just want to finish by saying I appreciate the time. It's one fantastic association you have on the Internet with the Blind Handyman. And for any of those people out there listening who this is the first time, well, just stick with it because it's a great program. And there's many of us out there who are still alive and still doing well.
Still doing, still stumbling along.
Kicking.
Hoping for the tottering toward the tomb, as we like
and
to.
And if anybody has some good information on home breweries, get back to us.
Yeah.
Maybe someone could put that on the list for you. Lee,
there you
folks
go.
Making beer, huh?
Lee Stone has been our guest. And, Lee, thank you very much, sir. And we'll talk to you in a day or two, and we'll see you on the list.
Appreciate it. Have a great day.
More of the Blind Handyman Show in just a minute.
As well as ACB Radio Mainstream,
The Cafe,
ACB Radio Treasure Trove, you can hear
live, unpredictable internet radio
on the ACB Radio Interactive.
ACB Radio Interactive, playing music from
the 1930s and 40s,
the 50s and 60s,
the 1970s,
80s and 90s,
the hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least six time zones on three continents, bringing you the very best of
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening adult contemporary,
and more. Live, unpredictable internet radio.
ACB Radio Interactive.
Don't risk the disappointment of missing a great ACB radio program. Join our announcements list today. Receive email about upcoming programs on all our channels and new features. To join, send a blank email now to announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
That's announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
Or visit our website. Announcements about ACB radio delivered to you direct and free. Just another way to stay in touch with ACB radio.
Thanks for listening to The Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
You guys ready to do the show here?
Yes.
Or what?
We are on
talking about how fast them trucks will go.
Don Patterson. No, that's
oh, did you introduce me?
Well, yeah. Uh-huh. Put your phones on.
Well, I've got my phone.
We're doing a show here, guys.
I don't have my mic. My mic level is.
Boy, everybody's
my mic
prepared here.
Your mic level is star.
You're right. Up.
And now. and now.
Everybody's ready. You can tell.
All right. So, Don, do you have your. Are you ready to.
My topic for the day.
All right.
No.
Now, without further ado. Here is my co-host
and
one of the stars of the Blind Animal Man Show, Don Shaw.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to bark.
I think it's about time to wrap this one up now.
Oh,
I don't know.
Go ahead, Donald.
Anyway, on this good rainy day, today would be a good day to talk about things normally that you have inside your house. Some things that we put outside and expect to work. And I'm going to give some examples of this now.
Okay.
And the first example of this would be back, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago or so, we decided that we needed a ceiling fan out on our new patio top that we had built. And hence, we didn't have any electricity out there at the time. So I said, well, we were doing some other work or at the time, and we had some fascia board off. And I said, well, while this fascia board is off, I'll go ahead and put the Romex in the house and just run the end of it out here on the patio. So in the future, if we do want to run some electricity outside, we'll at least have the Romex ready. So I did. I got a coil of Romex, I don't know, 20 foot or so. probably about number 12 or 14 three-conductor wire, you know, of course, the two in the ground, and threw the coil of it back up in the attic and left, I don't know, several feet or so outside to tie into. Put the fascia board back, and time went along, and we just didn't do anything with it for a while until the summer, actually. And this was kind of a team effort. My wife's brother, John, which was a guest on our show way back, many shows ago.
Yeah.
Came down one weekend, and we were sitting around talking and saying, well, we ought to just go ahead and hook this electricity up. So anyway, to make a long story short, it was a team effort. Him and I said, well, we'll hook up the electricity. He's a maintenance man. He does this work every day. So he went up the ladder, found my end of the wire I'd thrown back in the attic, put in a junction box standing on the ladder right there, and tied my wire that I'd run into a line of electrical wire that had run across the attic that went to some other, well, another circuit in the house.
So in other words, he cut that circuit and junctioned them together.
He sure did.
Okay.
Junctioned them together and put them in this junction box. And in the meantime, while he was doing this work, my wife ran down to Lowe's and or any home department store would do fine, and bought a ceiling fan. Just bought a regular ceiling fan. Came back with it, and by that time, you know, my brother-in-law's quick. He does this all the time. By that time, you know, we had the junction box up outside, and we was ready to hang a ceiling fan, and even had some additional outlets. Two GFI outlets put up besides that, so that whatever we would want to plug into, we could. We had any of those electrical appliances we wanted outside.
Sure.
But anyway, we had the fan ready to hang, and we hung up the ceiling fan. And I don't know, really less than an hour, man, the whole thing. You know, the whole thing, hook up, ceiling fan hung and all. Man, we were sitting under the ceiling fan drinking a cold one. And it was nice, yeah. No prob. And anyway, everything rocked along, and we went, I guess, what now, 2 years later,
uh-huh.
And Mary was saying this summer, man, those ceiling fan blades up there sure are warped on that fan.
Kind of droopy.
And you got to remember now, we live at, what, less than 200 miles, I guess, from the Gulf here, so we probably have higher humidity than some folks do.
A lot. We have very high humidity.
And I'm sure that doesn't help these outside our inside things, any that should be outside, but or vice versa. But anyway, our fan blades had bad warps in them. So I'd taken down a fan this year in the house and put up a new fan in its place. And the motor on this fan was bad, but actually the blades were good. So I said, well, I wonder if these blades would line up and would match.
Sure enough, they did.
And, well, actually, I took off the first blade outside and tried one of the blades from inside, and it actually wouldn't line up. But actually, what would, I took off, you know, the part that goes into the housing that holds the uh-huh. blade on?
Yeah.
The little bracket. Yeah.
Yeah.
I took off that whole bracket, and sure enough, the brackets would line up.
Mm-hmm.
But the holes actually in the blades were off, which seemed kind of strange. But anyway, since the bracket lined up, everything was fine. But anyway, to make a long story short, after I got the first blade down, I laid the blade that had been outside down on a flat surface on a table that I knew was level.
Uh-huh.
And man, that blade was warped so bad, like in the middle of the blade, like I could stick my whole hand like underneath the blade,
really?
Between the table and the blade.
My goodness.
So just the two ends were down, and then just like a big hump in the middle. And they were, man. That just goes to show, ceiling fan. That's why I guess you need to buy a fan that is made for outside.
I was fixing to say, they make outside fans and inside fans, and you can't. She just bought a fan, and chances are it was for the inside, and it just, they won't.
Oh, it's for the inside. There's no doubt about that.
The blades on my outside ceiling fan, George, just back when there was a George, put up a couple this summer, and the blades are fiberglass. They're not metal.
So it's an outside fan.
Yeah, it's an outside fan. I mean, they're not going to warp.
They'll
y'all
never warp.
Y'all install new fans?
We put two new fans up on the
house?
On the house porch.
Okay.
And they're
well, this is something that'll scare you. I was in a house the other day, or I was someplace. I'm not sure. We've been looking at new houses, new building deals, and I'll swear I believe I saw an inside fan with the curved blades as kind of a design thing. And I was thinking, you think that's an outside fan that they put in?
Yeah,
inside?
That's true.
No, I'm serious.
Talk about unstable.
It was hung from a cathedral ceiling, which is tall, you know, and they're down on like in the old barbershop. You walk in these buildings with 20-foot ceilings. They had to have a special gizmo to turn on the ceiling fans.
Yeah, yeah.
But its blades were curved.
Yeah.
And I think it was the style. And I thought that was...
So that, well, you're thinking that might have been one that was outside that somebody put in the stuck in that. That possibly was.
Well, we know now that an inside fan won't work too long outside because of the blades warping.
Well, and the motor wouldn't be sealed either, would it?
And the motor, but the motor ran fine. The motor wasn't the problem. Man, it was just those warped blades. Man, it was running bad there at the last now with those blades.
Shaking pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was. But that brings me to the next question I have for this panel here, panel of experts here.
All right. I wouldn't go that far. An expert, of course, is a drip under pressure.
Anyway. There you go. But more things that are made to be used inside, trying to put them outside, which, of course, I had to do this. But I bought these two speakers, indoor speakers, actually, in these speaker cabinets. I don't know, probably 8-inch or so speakers, fair size speakers with the cabinets, of course, that go with them. Anyway, I hung these speakers outside 2 years ago, minded that are supposed to be hung inside or outside. And the question, I guess, is, with our high humidity in this area, will the paper, after a while, in these speakers or the cone just, like, disintegrate?
I don't think
after
so.
After a while.
I don't think so. Where are they? Up under the cover?
They are. They're under the cover. They don't get wet.
Nah. They'll last a long time what'll happen is you'll have worse than that. If there's any opening anywhere, is you'll find a wasp nest up in there. That'll be a problem. But now the cone, I don't think will. I don't know how they would keep it if they said this. You can buy speakers that are meant for outside. And the speaker would be a little better protected, but they wouldn't keep dampness from getting to the cone. Because if they did, you couldn't hear it.
Couldn't hear it. That's a fact.
So, no, I don't think you'll have any problem there.
That's the question, is after a while, will the speaker just... But okay, that sounds good.
Somebody else will have some comment on that, I'm sure. But they make... we mentioned Home Depot, so you might as well mention Lowe's. Has a dandy little set of outside speakers for, I think, $22-23 that just will take a lot of volume, and their fidelity isn't real great, but brother, they'll honk.
They'll go.
I bought a couple sets of them not long ago, and they do real well, so you know you have to look a little for them, but they're there.
Yeah.
And they're meant for outside. They give you the bracket and everything to hang it with, you know? That's the deal.
See, that's what I had to do, is put in a couple of hooks to hang these speakers. And, of course, you already had this phone wire run that I tied these speakers into, and it works. They work good. They seem like it take a little bit more power to get them pushing, but they'll do good volume.
That phone wire is going to have some resistance in it because it's single-strand wire, and it's going to have a lot more resistance than some stranded wire would have, but it'll work.
Well, to show you the difference, it probably takes three. My volume control is notched, and it probably takes two or three notches inside for good volume. And I'd say, which I got plenty of power, but probably double that
to run the outside
speakers. Power the outside.
Well,
speakers.
At that point in time, I did. You got to remember, this was 20 years ago. And I wasn't near as hip then. I didn't know about Mid-State Electronics, where you can just order boxes of wire. And that phone wire I had, everybody's got, you know, you
phone
tinker
wire.
Around, you got phone wire. So I ran that. But there's going to be a lot of resistance in that phone wire, a lot more than there would be in the piece of nice stranded speaker wire. But it's not going to hurt anything. You got plenty of power.
Speaking of speakers, I was in something I thought was really neat. I was in a new home the other day. I mean, watching it being built, we're kind of looking, and they had wired and were installing the speakers for surround sound in the great room.
That would be
great.
In
the family room.
Oh. Yeah,
but
I
thought of something. If you did that, knowing that everything's built in, and we're talking these ceilings were high, so you would have to have a mighty left. What if you ran two sets of wires just in case you had a problem? You could just go to the... You know, I thought about if I do that and network for computers, Might want to run a double set of wires just in case.
You want to run Cat 5 is cheap, and you want to run two pair of Cat 5, two runs, not pair, because Cat 5 has five pair in it.
Yeah.
You want to run two runs of Cat 5 to every room. If I ever build another house, believe me, I'm going to buy 1,000 feet of multi-pair cable with 17 pair in each cable, and I'm going to run cable to every room there is, and three or four pieces of coax. I thought I was doing that on this house, and sure enough, coming from where the public stereo is, up to my chair, there's only one piece of coax. I can't run the satellite back to my, back where. Anyway, I thought I was doing good, and I wasn't. There'll be 20 pair run to every room.
Yeah,
that's the radio station.
The future, so.
Radio station theory is you can have too few, but you can't have too many.
That's right.
I guess that's
agree.
True. You know, if you
so
think
yeah,
about
run
that.
Two pieces of wire every place you.
And so if you had a problem, you can. The reason why it made me think of that is like you know Emily's house. We're talking 30 years old. That has an old intercom set every room. And I thought, but you could do a lot like with that, except it's only got one. You know, if there's something wrong in the wiring, you can't do much.
Yeah. So, Patterson, was this the same house with the warped ceiling fan blades?
No, it was not. We were just in one, and I swear the blades were kind of
droopy
curved.
Blades.
Yeah, well, it was like a style. I mean, you could tell it was kind of designed.
What a deal. Yeah.
Well, guys, we've killed another one.
We've about done another one in, haven't we?
We've about done another one in. Number 42. What's all those email addresses, Sean?
Let's see. We have a list. It's Don Shaw's list that everybody's on. Even you, Pat, are on the list.
I'm on there.
Even on the list.
Tell us how to get on the list, Don Shaw.
If you want to subscribe to this list, send that email to Yahoo.
Blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That'll get you on the list,
it will.
Buckaroos. And we want you on the list. We got about 160 members on the list now. Isn't that nice?
Yep.
Amazing.
Boy. And send that email to blindhandyman@hotmail.com, and we will read your email on the air.
And you better send it, or we're coming to your homes. We actually got some good email this week.
We did.
I'm happy about that.
We got some email this week.
So we can always get some off the list. You can't shut us down anymore. We're invincible now. We get it off the list. If you don't email us, we call it list mail. We'll go to the list. 160-something people on the list. The list is not... It's not too bad. If you don't want to read them, just delete them. You don't have to read them all if you don't want to. We're not forcing you to. And Don Shaw is going to put on the list this weekend how to create the message rule that will send your list mail to a different folder. Aren't you, Don?
Yeah.
You're going to research that and put a detailed description of how to do that. So get on the list. We'd love to have you. If you're a handyman person, you'll love it. It's a neat thing. Is that about it?
That's it.
That's about it.
Let's go sit in the house and watch it rain and talk to Frankie Brown.
Who hadn't made a sound during
the show. Ask you, bless your heart.
Drink a cold one.
Thank you, Don Shaw.
A homemade cold one.
Homemade cold one.
Yeah, good one today.
Don Patterson,
thank you, sir. We survived again.
Tell the warden we said hi.
Oh, she'll be wanting to listen anyway.
Tom and Cleta May. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
you. Yes, sir.
We'll see you next week on the Blind Handyman Shumfield Bar. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.